Unspeakable, senseless violence happened in a place where they're supposed to feel safe. Home base is tragic.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more for once with the president. That's Obama talking about the terrible tragedy at Fort Hood. Now it's a question of what happens next after we figure out a few more things and get some of these other people back on their feet, so to speak, who have been rocked by what shattered an ordinary day, business as usual, at the biggest military installation we have, like a city. Fort Hood is sprawling. And now the scene of more violence. 2009 was the last time. That was Major Nadal Hassan, as you know, who has gotten through the trial system, the military courts, and has been sentenced to die. That just happened last August. And now this scenario unfolds again, and this time the soldier took his own life when they were clamping down on him. And there's still that big question of why here? Why? Why did this happen? What was it? There's some theory floating around that there was some kind of altercation with another soldier on the base, and he was having some problems. He wasn't quite diagnosed with PTSD, but he was on the road to that. However, he wasn't officially diagnosed with it. He was taking Ambien. He was having depression, lack of sleep, all that kind of stuff. And on his Facebook page, the post said, "The devil will take me." Friends of the shooter think that perhaps something else might have played a part in what it was that made him do what he ultimately did. His mom's death, they think, might have been part of what sent him into this depression. Ivan Lopez, again, was his name. He killed 3 people, injured 16, and ultimately shot himself. He had just moved to the base in February, had a wife and a daughter. They were moved in. Neighbors say he was normal and friendly and great, and they were stunned by it. And then the story starts to unfold about other things in his life, and one of them is that he lost his mother, Carmen Lopez, and his grandfather. He lost his mother in November and grandfather in October. And they think, at least some people close to him, think that the deaths affected him deeply. So initially he wasn't allowed by the Army to even travel to Puerto Rico to attend his mom's funeral. Eventually he was allowed 24 hours to go. He went, got to Puerto Rico 5 days after her death. And nobody's commenting at this point about if he got the right kind of bereavement leave or not, and any of the specifics of that. But there are people around him that are starting to talk about it, that it really affected him, and he wished he could have spent more time with his mom in her last days, and he was beating himself up for being in the Army. And would this have led anything? Would this have led him to go as far as he did? And we know about his deployment in Iraq, and he had a couple of mental health issues, but nothing else that turned up negative behavior or any disciplinary action or anything like that in his career. He didn't even see combat action, because that's people were trying to say, okay, PTSD, he's in a unit, he's driving a truck, and he didn't. He wasn't in combat. When he came back, he said that he had suffered a traumatic brain injury in Iraq. He was taking, like I said, Ambien and getting psychiatric help for the 2 things I mentioned, the anxiety, depression, and they were looking at the potential of post-traumatic stress disorder. But they keep going back to the death of his mother. She died of a heart attack, and him not going back, not getting back there, and how tough that was for him and what an anchor she was. And, you know, was this the thing that pushed him over the rails? The bottom line is that now, once again, Fort Hood is in the news making big headlines because of a tragedy that you just shake your head and say, wow, that many people are in the hospital, have had so many surgeries, 16 people, 16 soldiers that didn't need to be in this position, and then three dead as a result of what he ultimately did. So I think that there should be a massive call for ending base gun restrictions. Coming back stateside, you should be able to carry a sidearm on the base. And I think this fatal shooting, maybe this is going to be the push to have that happen. Forget that. There have been too many horrific things that are happening that shouldn't happen at these places, at these bases. Even the Navy shooting yard incident, perhaps that could have been stopped, or maybe more lives saved. So the Lopez was carrying, by the way, because I've had this question, he was carrying a handgun that was not registered at Fort Hood, and he was able to hit all those people before he took his own life. And you think soldiers unarmed in a situation like the other day and 2009, and they can't do anything. You get a lockdown ordered, and you're supposed to stay in place, but too late if you just happen to be in the wrong spot at the wrong time. So I think it's time they allow the people who have concealed weapon permits to carry them on post. This is a way that they can protect themselves. Why do they have to be hostages? Why do they have to be shooting targets, moving targets? Why? It doesn't make any sense. I mean, really, this is across the board, because military installations don't allow soldiers to be armed or carry personal firearms while they're on post, except if you're security. If you're security law enforcement, then you can. And it's on record. There's no question. The Defense Department says no. It's a no-no. And they think they've said for many reasons they don't want to do this. Top reasons are use of force, weapons training, qualification costs, all of that, compliance with the different kinds of weapons would be a hassle. But I think it's time to really start to have this conversation. Let's get the facts. Let's get the real facts and the real reasons why they can't carry weapons. I mean, here's the biggest fact is you have Ivan Lopez, who's a soldier, and he's able to unload and kill three people and wound 16 others, then take his own life, and nobody that he hit had a firearm. If they had, you wouldn't have those numbers. It is unspeakable, as the president said, senseless violence. So let's do something to stop it. Who's on board? What do you think? Arms or no arms? 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Amanda Bosel here from Midas Resources. Today, April 1st, 2014, gold opened at $1,284.30. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,331.07, $665.53 for a half ounce, or $332.77 for a quarter ounce. Again, that's $1,331.07, $665.53, and $332.77.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Hey everyone, have you heard about the no-no hair removal device that's sweeping the globe? If you want to go weeks without shaving and get smooth, professional, quality results, here's our favorite host, Cheryl, for no-no hair removal.
Thanks. Hey gals, I love talking about my no-no. It's this cute little hair removal system that you can take with you and use almost anywhere at home or on the road. No more expensive in-office treatments, painful waxing, and no more wasting your valuable time. Got unwanted facial hair? No-no has patented Thermacon technology that works on all hair and skin colors, so it's perfect for using on all body parts. And now you can take advantage of this incredible risk-free trial. Get the No-No, the facial kit, a travel case, and a $100 discount shopping card, and you don't risk a penny to try it. Try the incredible No-No hair completely risk-free. Call 1-800-953-6062. That's 800-953-6062. 800-953-6062.
Everyone on post is required to register their weapon, whether they live there or not. In this case, he would have been required to register this weapon, and it doesn't seem that he did. When you access a military base, if you are in uniform, typically all you have to do is just flash your badge. And as we saw with the Washington Navy Yard shootings, that's exactly what happened. There is no search. It's basically the trust system.
All right, so there you go. It's basically the trust system, so that's not working either. If you can't go by the trust system, if you're going to have an incident like this happen, I say you've got to go the opposite direction and let's go through the regulations. Facts are facts. Let's have the facts out there. You know they're going to trot this out on the Hill. Chuck Hagel's going to have to talk about it. They're going to talk about base safety and things that have happened in the past. And this is going to go on for a couple of weeks. And, you know, it's either, should they be armed or shouldn't they be armed? Right now, they're not. And I think that there's going to be more of a push from Washington to not have sidearms, to not have people with concealed carry weapons, personal ones. I don't think so. I could be wrong because I know there'll be a push in some directions for that. But I think overall, from the D.C. perspective, they're going to say, no, it would be with what you'd have to go through for the kinds of weapons and the training and all of that. It would prevent us from really being safe actually on the bases, which I disagree. So was this a case of, as I mentioned before, that the shooter, Ivan Lopez, was upset because he got no leave, got a short bereavement leave, so he was going to pay back the Army for what happened to him? That's one of the theories that's being floated out that I had just mentioned. A lot of you have chipped away at this, and coming up in our last segment here in this hour, we will go to the mailbag because you had some serious thoughts about it. If you want to throw in your 2 cents now, too, you can do that, by the way. 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. A plus coming up around the bend, a conversation with Patrick Huey, former pilot, about theories and what the machinery is like when we're talking about the 777 and the Malaysian course to from Kuala Lumpur to China and the latest on what's happening there. So that's going to be great, interesting inside information on from a pilot's perspective on what it would look like and how some things don't really make sense if you listen to some of the things that have been reported. So unarmed soldiers, once again, left in a defenseless position after they've served our country in some horrible situations and for long deployments sometimes, and this is what happens to some of them, and it's just not right. It's just not right. So we'll see what the outcome is of that. In the meantime, something came to light. This is, we're trying to get a handle on the 7.1 million people who signed up for the Affordable Care Act. You know, it's the numbers were the numbers they said they were going to hit, meaning the administration said they were going to hit. But how about this? Because it's hard to really wrap your hands around this. A lot of people just signed up for it, but they haven't paid. Blue Cross Blue Shield has info that shows 15 to 20% of Americans that are actually signed up for Obamacare haven't paid their premiums. So the actual number of signups then would be closer to 6 million. 80 to 85% of the people who enrolled with the insurance company through the Obamacare exchanges paid their first month's premium, but the rest haven't paid, so they're not actually covered under any insurance plan. The Health and Human Services Secretary, Kathleen Sebelius, just kind of looked at the figures, accepted them, saying that insurance companies have reported similar numbers, and then tried to kind of spin it, saying that from the initial customers, somewhere between 80, 85, say it's as high as 90% have paid so far. But the hard numbers aren't there. We know that a lot of people haven't paid at this point. And the deadlines to sign up for the plans, since the website rolled out or bombed out, flamed out in October, the deadline to get coverage was January 1st. It was changed from December 15th to the 23rd. Then the March 31st date became another soft deadline. And on we go. And I think what is sometimes underreported is the people who lost, have been dropped from their plans and have lost health insurance. So there was the gains and then there was the minuses. And there's going to be more of those minuses as we roll this out, I think, a little bit further down the road. This is just the tip of the iceberg. You know, I'd be the first person, by the way, to say if I was wrong. I've said this a few times, and it's worth mentioning again. I mean, listen, you ask me, you come up to me in the street and say, you know, what's wrong with you? Aren't you for affordable health care for everybody? Of course, but not to the detriment of the people who already have health care, number one. So that was the first mistake. Okay, let's kneecap these people because everything's fine for them. We're going to make sure we get the poorest people insured. And we didn't really think some of these things out. So sorry about the people who had a decent plan. And now they're in trouble and they are paddling as fast as they can and very, very upset because they can't even afford the premiums and the deductible is absolutely crazy. So we'll see where it all ends up. I think we won't know some of the final hardcore figures for another year or two because you have to shake out the premiums. If I stop paying my premium, I'm going to get dumped from my insurance, as are many of you, right? You know, you're not getting a, geez, we're billing you again. We're giving you 60 days, 90 days. You got 120 days. Whew, it's been 6 months. I hope you can come up with that. But you're covered. You know, something happens. You've got your insurance. That's not what happens. So what about all these people who signed up? If they don't pay, are they being covered? And, you know, how long does that continue? So still confusion, I think, abounds in trying to figure that all out. With that many people, almost 2 million people haven't paid? They haven't paid? I'd say that's pretty significant. That really definitely reduces the number, but more importantly, they gotta get the money for that. And imagine you're in that in-between spot and you need coverage. So are there some people? It's like I got an email from someone who said, you don't think anyone's benefited? Oh, of course. I definitely think some people have benefited from it, but not the ones that you would think, the ones that were clicking along. The ones that were clicking along now are in a scary spot. If you were just poor enough to get it and could afford it and you needed some work done, you were in a great spot, and that happened with a few people. We haven't talked about this that much throughout the week, a little bit here and there. But in Washington, you know, they're still dealing with the aftermath of the mudslide in Oso. And I just, every time I think of first responders now, I think of the people that were up there, couldn't get to people, and now are just trying to get this whole area cleaned up and make sure they haven't missed anyone, any bodies, any of that kind of stuff, because they're trying to piece together the identities of the people that were killed when the mudslide wiped out this small Washington area. And one of the 30 bodies doesn't fit with any of the descriptions on the missing persons list. The only clue to one of the bodies they found is the gold molars. And he might have been somebody who was going for a hike, or he was on the highway. Wouldn't that be the worst? Oh, just he's going for a hike because it was a beautiful area, not ridiculously far from Seattle, and pulls over and goes for a hike. Woo. So that what they do is, you, this is the way you identify, so they'll get those molars out there and figure out who he is. And slowly, painstakingly, they've had to go through and identify people because it's just not that easy. And they're still trying to figure some of them out. Because remember, I mean, this is pretty gruesome, but it's life. This is the mudslide now that buried people alive. They're finding only partial remains. I mean, the goal is to get everything they can to get the victims' identities and to make that happen. So they've got medical examiners, detectives, dentists, lots of dentists, and some others to make sure there's no doubt as to who the victim is. And unlike CSI and some of the things we watch on TV, it's a very slow process. We're talking about the missing plane next on America Tonight.
Self-reliance, survival supplies, survival skills, national experts. Get it all at the only free-to-attend national event exclusively for preppers. This spring in Tulsa, it's the National Preppers and Survivalist Expo. A must-be-there event. Presented by American Living. This massive expo will include special guests. David Mays from Nat Geo's Doomsday Preppers. Plus, GCN's own Dr. Joel Wallach via live video conference. Hear Dr. Bones, Nurse Amy, and members of the American Prepper Network, along with many other leading national experts. Learn life-saving tips, CPR, how to handle crisis situations, walk through a bomb shelter, and much, much more. Two big days, April 5th and 6th at the Tulsa Expo Square in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's April 5th and 6th. Doors open at 9 a.m. with absolutely free admission. Don't miss the National Preppers and Survivalist Expo, America's largest emergency preparedness event. Get your free tickets now. NPSExpo.com. That's NPSExpo.com.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
This 777 that's been missing now, Flight 370, that was going from Kuala Lumpur to China, it seems like now almost a month, and so many of you have some interesting theories about that. Very excited about our next guest. He's in our virtual green room, and I hope they're treating him right, by the way. We spare no expense in our virtual green rooms. Patrick Huey's there, and he's a former airline captain. He flew some of these big birds, not a 777, but pretty close to it. And right now he also has a company, 367th Commercial Air Group. Patrick, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's my pleasure.
So tell me what your initial, because you're a guy who logs so many hours in some of these big planes, as I said. What was your initial reaction when you heard about that Malaysian flight?
It was a lot of shock and surprise. It's very rare for an aircraft to just disappear like that. And getting a little bit, nuts and bolts about it. There's three things I can tell you unequivocally. The airplane did take off from Kuala Lumpur. It did not land in Beijing, and they had some kind of radio communication with it just before it didn't show up where it was supposed to. So to me, it's one of those great mysteries.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You mentioned the radio communication. And on this show, we've had so many people call about that. They wanted to know, well, what happens in the cockpit and the doors locked and the captain's the only one who can control the equipment. So the captain must be nefarious and maybe a terrorist and was trying to land the plane somewhere else. And you know what it's like to be behind the other side of that cockpit door. When you start to hear all those things emerge, what can you tell us about the equipment?
Well, okay, the Boeing 777 is an automated airplane. It is probably the safest airplane in the world. Now, I haven't flown the 777, but I've flown the 767, I've flown the 747, and the cockpits are very similar. So it's nighttime, the door is locked, there's two of you in the cockpit, the lights are turned down, you're at cruise altitude, the autopilot is operating the aircraft, and you have it programmed into the computer. And you're just relaxing. You're enjoying the view. You're monitoring things. You're discussing things with your fellow crew member. Any kind of topic can come up, usually related to flying, but sometimes people get into geopolitical discussions. So it's a very relaxed, calm environment. As to whether these guys were terrorists, somebody did ask me about, isn't it weird that the guy would have this big flight simulator in his basement? And I looked at him, I said, no, I have one in my house, just not as elaborate. Just about every pilot I know has one of those on his computer, and I can go to my computer and pull up my 747 and program a flight and fly the whole flight and practice it. We're a little bit nerdy in that way.
Yeah, I would say I know a lot of pilots. I was telling you that off the air when we had a conversation. And just recently I had a chance to fly. It was on my bucket list and it was a little Cessna. And of course that's much different than what you've done and these bigger planes and whatnot. But I got a real feel for what it was like to look at the controls in that sense, which is definitely different than what you're talking about with a computerized system. Going with what we have now in the Boeings, as you said, it's the safest plane, the 777. So if it's the safest plane, right, and it's computerized, what about, as some other pilots have told me, the thing is, you know what can happen with computers. I mean, is there backup after backup after backup to prevent some of these things from happening that can happen when you've got a computerized piece of any kind of equipment?
Sure. There's two flight control computers on the 777. There's three control heads in the cockpit to program the computer. Then in addition to that, there's manual backup. And you can fly the airplane off the computer, but with the autopilot through what's known as a mode control panel, which is on the glare shield, just up on the windscreen. So it's within eyesight. And then you can disconnect the autopilot and you can actually hand fly it just like any other airplane. And it is a fly-by-wire airplane. So it has triple redundancy with five different command computers that have five different sets of codes in them. So that airplane losing control, the odds are astronomically high that that would happen.
What about the reports? It looked like there was the turnaround. We were looking at maps and we could see that the plane mysteriously had turned around in a different direction. And then people were reporting that they saw it fly incredibly low in the Maldives. They were saying that they thought they had seen a plane similar to that. And then there was reports that it was at 45,000 feet. Is this just what happens? It's all this speculation, because it seems to me Malaysia Air, just from a journalist's point of view, they're spewing out a lot of different theories, because people are hungry for the information, so they're just bombarding them with things in some cases that don't make sense. Does any of that make sense with the changing of airspeeds and the sightings and that kind of thing?
Yes and no. This is all conjecture at this point. So I could say that 45,000 feet is above the normal altitude for that airplane. That airplane, when it's really lightweight, when you've burned a lot of your fuel off, and the 7.6 and the 7.4 are the same thing, we take them up to 41,000 feet, but nobody really wants to go above 41,000 feet because it runs out of oomph.
Yeah.
It just kind of gets a little bit sluggish. But the airplane can climb as high as 45,000 feet if you violate a number of different don'ts. So in other words, you let the airplane speed bleed back slow enough and you trade that speed for altitude, it'll go up to 45,000 feet. But when you get up to that high, you'll lose the lift that you need and it'll come right back down. So I heard somebody say, well, it went up to 45,000 feet and then it descended within a minute down to 20-some thousand feet. And that's a physical impossibility. And it really is not an impossibility. Because if you let the speed decay below a certain value at that altitude, the airplane will lose lift, and it'll come down out of the sky just like a 500,000-pound sack of bricks.
Until
it gets down to a lower altitude, and then the wing will regain lift. it's called a phenomenon called jet upset. So we train against that. The only reason for it being up at 45,000 feet that I can think of is somebody lost control of the airplane.
Right. So if that's true, then that's probably what happened there. The other thing is, of course, the latest news, and you know this, they're off of Perth and they're looking. It was really flotsam that they could see from the satellite images. But the Australian Prime Minister and the Prime Minister of Malaysia are saying, you know, they released to the people. The victims of the flight will say to the families that, hey, we're going to bring you to Australia because we think the plane went down here. And they're talking about the pings and zeroing in on the pings. How much time do they have left with that? Because I think the clock's running out, isn't it?
It's the battery is rated for 30 days of life. Doesn't mean that it can't go longer, but they're guaranteeing 30 days of life. But at 30 days of life, any battery power that's left, it's going to drain and be weaker and weaker and weaker. It also depends if it's the bottom of an ocean bed, that ping has to come up through all that water.
Yes, that makes it tough.
And another thing about being out off the coastline of Perth, I can understand why this is all theoretical. If there was a problem, and this captain was very familiar with the Malaysian Peninsula, the Malaccan Straits, and the Indonesian Peninsula, that's his backyard. That's where he flies. I could see where he would make a turn to the west. There are several airports out to the west that would be great airports to duck into if you had a severe problem. But then they're saying that it turned south and it flew at low altitude. At low altitude, your fuel consumption triples and your airspeed decreases. So you wouldn't have enough fuel to get as far south as they're looking.
Yeah. Interesting. You think they're going to, I mean, again, is this, like you said, this is conjecture. You think they're going to come up with this plane?
No, I don't think it'll ever be found.
Yeah, it's funny. And you have the expertise, but I, in my heart of hearts, and just from all the conversations I've had with people overseas too, close to this, I don't think they're going to find it either. Wow. How do you never lose a plane again? Is there anything you could do that wouldn't happen?
Well, it's interesting that you say that because back in the late 90s, when I was actually starting an international carrier, we wanted to take all of the automated capability in these new generation airplanes. And if you look at it, they're run by computer now. Microprocessors everywhere. So we used to have a third guy who sat back there and he would control all of this stuff with switches. Now we have computers that do that. Well, when computers do that, there's voltage someplace or there's a bit of transmission someplace and all of that stuff gets lost. So we thought, why don't we capture that and then data link it to the ground? I mean, we used to be able to look at whether or not a valve opened on a lunar lander on the moon back in the 60s. Why can't we figure out what's going on with an airplane here in the 21st century when it's over the water? And the fact of the matter is we can. There is a company that has done that, and you can get real-time data linking through satellite communications. But Malaysian Airlines wouldn't pay for something like that, and they didn't even pay for the AIMS system, they call it, in the 777, to be linked up so that they could get the engine feed data back from Rolls-Royce.
Yeah, I read about that, too. Wow. All right, interesting stuff for sure. We'll see. But you and I are in agreement. We don't think we're going to find that plane. Patrick Huey, thanks so much for shedding some light on this crazy story about Malaysia Airlines Flight 370. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I hope I didn't get too technical for you, Kate.
That was great.
For 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey Guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Hi, this is Larry Smith. Sometimes bad things happen to good people, like when the jeweler ruined my ring and wouldn't do anything about it. But when my Legal Shield attorney called him and told him what my rights were, I received a check for over $2,100. Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. Again, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
My name is Dell, and I live in El Cajon, California. I was concerned about my cholesterol readings because I knew that high cholesterol is related to clogging of the arteries and increases the risk for heart attack and stroke. One day, I heard an ad for Heart and Body Extract, and I was skeptical, but I decided to give it a try. Man, the numbers don't lie.
Learn the secrets of an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation at HBExtract.com.
I like to see you work right across the floor. I like to do things to your collar for more. I like to reggae, but you can't do that for me. I like
to. Welcome back to America Tonight. We're heading down the final straightaway for this hour anyway. And, of course, we've been talking about a couple of different things here, obviously mixing in what you just heard there with Patrick Huey on the plane. And some of the things I think that he added to the discussion were pretty interesting. And it's just unbelievable that this plane has not turned up anywhere at all. That we've had lots of conspiracy theories that some of them actually make sense, and all this money is being spent in the Indian Ocean to try to uncover what, you know, what could be perhaps pieces of this plane. But I feel like he does that. I don't think they're going to find the plane, and I think that they're starting to. That's why you've got the Australian Prime Minister trying to back people off of thinking that they're going to find the plane sometime soon. And you're going to hear more of that conversation that, this may be a long search, a very, very long search. We don't anticipate it's going to be over anytime soon after they were initially so convinced that satellite photos were, you know, from outer space, we can see that there's debris from the plane, and it wasn't, of course. I think they're trying to back off any hardcore theories at this point for fear of a couple of different things, especially with so many of the families just waiting with bated breath for some kind of significant evidence. They might not ever see that evidence, because I don't think they will. All right, Robert, listening GCNlive.com. Hey, Robert, how are you?
Hey, I want to tell you, the first time a long time ago that I heard you, you really impressed me. I said, oh, boy, what a nice new voice on that. And I'm crazy about the music it plays with your show. I have a theory myself. I heard this, and I kind of believe it. There's a theory that the plane, one of the passengers from the plane is in Diego Garcia. Have you heard that one?
I have heard that one, yes.
Well, I kind of believe that's it. And along with that is that the plane that they're looking for is not a 777. It's one much smaller and different. So I agree to that. And I believe the whole plane thing is a giant diversion to keep everybody, you know, 24/7, the plane in the plane. It's to keep us from knowing what else is going on. We're not watching what's going on in Russia. We're not watching Israel has all their embassies closed right now. That's really weird. And they're getting ready for a big old shakeup. I think all the countries are going to start fighting. So I believe the plane is a diversion to keep us from worrying about that.
You know what, Robert, I agree that there's a diversion factor here, no doubt about it. We've talked about a lot about Russia. We had someone on from Russia last week, but pretty much a lot of that conversation has died down, absolutely. And with all the focus on the plane, like you say, the plane, especially so many countries involved, it does pull away from so many other things, especially in the Middle East, especially with what's happening with Putin, the Ukraine, after Crimea, and they have different tales to tell in Russia than they do anyplace else. Robert, thanks for listening to the show and throwing your two cents, by the way. The if any theory out there, I would give some validity to the distraction in the sense that that is kind of twofold with Malaysia, too, Malaysia Air. I think they're trying to throw out distractions for something that that's much different than we believe. I don't know what it is, but I think they definitely know that they're not going to find the plane. I really do. And they're not saying that they're going to keep burning this fire about the plane and finding the plane and everybody's involved and all of that kind of thing. But I think there's something deeper to this. What, like I said, we're digging, but I don't know what that is. Hey, speaking of digging, a lot of you have done the same thing. You have a lot of thoughts on the plane and a couple of other things as well. So without further ado, let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
This one from Misha. Misha says, Kate Delaney, really enjoy the show. I have to say, I am so sick of this whole plane thing. I just don't get it. I don't get the investment. I feel sorry for the people. I think it's a big smokescreen. There's so much more going on here. And we'll find out eventually, probably 10 years from now when we're watching the History Channel, and then people will just gasp at what's really happened. Until then, it's more of a shell game than anything else. Just my opinion. Well, that's what we were just talking about there. Is there a major threat of something else happening? And, of course, whether it's an intentional diversion or not, it has been a diversion, and it has pulled people away from other things. And in particular, for sure, one of the things that's happened is that there hasn't been as much conversation on Putin versus Obama. What do we do if there's more blowback for some of the Ukrainians who are worried that there's going to be a territorial grab? That's kind of just all gone by the wayside. All right, this one from Don, who says, Kate, this whole thing with Fort Hood just makes me plain sick. When I heard the news, I have to say immediately, what did I think? I thought terrorism, probably like almost everybody else out there. Then you find out that it's a soldier. How does one soldier turn a gun on another soldier and another soldier and another soldier? When all the military is about is having your brother's back. I served for 2 decades proudly, and I can tell you now they still have my back. I just am at a loss on this one. Well, you're not alone in that. How do you do that? Is it he was so distraught, he wasn't thinking clearly, he was upset with the military because he didn't get enough bereavement leave to mourn his mother's death, who she had a heart attack in Puerto Rico? Is it a combination of that and depression and some other things? And here he had a wife and a child and had just gotten on the base in February, so go figure, they're trying to piece together any specific portrait of him that they can. Robert says, I think that it should be mandatory if you are skilled at using a firearm, which you're in the military, you come back from serving in Afghanistan, and you're not allowed to defend yourself on the base when somebody loses it and they are sitting ducks. Shame on the military. All they do is take, take, take from too many people that they want, what? Yeah, kind of well said there. And that's not true across the board. There are some people that are incredibly concerned, incredibly concerned with the rules of engagement, which have put people that serve in some precarious situations that I don't think they should be in. And now with this whole base thing, especially the sprawling base of Fort Hood. First you have 2009. I mean, that's just the worst thing ever. That there you are on the base after having served, and how do you get killed? You get killed on your home base? Wow. All right, here's another one. This one from Kevin, who says, Kate, I heard you talking a lot about Fort Hood. I agree with what you had to say. I think that for sure Purple Hearts should go to anybody who was taken down by this heinous act of Lopez. And I also believe that you should be able to carry a firearm. So you have a firearm. You're supposed to be able to use it to defend yourself. And if you have to defend yourself on our bases, then so be it. We live in a wacky world. And there are some unpredictable characters, even in the military. I think it's a crying shame that anyone loses their life when they're going about their daily business and they happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and of all places, a base. Yeah, you know, that's the hard thing. It's like the shattering of our sacred cows. Churches, schools, military bases, hospitals, shopping malls. I mean, those kinds of shootings and people that are just prey are just despicable. I mean, just despicable, no matter what ultimately the reason is behind somebody doing that. Thanks for listening to this Hour of America Tonight.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terraganics. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM-1 from Terraganics. Life's getting better.